sí.
No, quédate.
Thank you, and God bless you. Praise be to God. Let's pray so that it gets it. We come to you, Lord, this morning. And Father, we are happy, Father, that you've gathered us together, Lord. And you know, Father, that you don't gather your people for nothing. Every time, Lord God, that you gather us, Father, is something that you put into our souls, Lord. We pray that it will be the same even this morning, Lord, because you promised that whenever we do this, you do that, and you never fails, Lord God. Now, there are some scriptures I've just picked, Lord, and I don't know how to bring them, Lord. I don't know. I can read, Lord, but that's not it, Lord. Father, we pray that you come and take these scriptures or any other way, Lord, that you deem fit and speak to the hearts of your children. We surrender, Lord God, all. Sometimes it's the nature of a man to come and feeling like, I don't want you, Lord, to touch here. But Lord, we come with this attitude to you. You touch anything. You touch everywhere in us, Lord God. Correct us. Whatever it is, Lord, do whatever you want now, Lord. We commit ourselves to you. We bless the people. I remember Gabe, Father, not feeling good, Lord. And whoever else is not feeling good somewhere, the members you bride, Lord, we remember them before you. For their needs, Lord, we pray that you meet it now. We commit ourselves to you now. We commit the service to you. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen. You can be seated. I left home kind of in a hurry. Can you give me a napkin, Brother Don? Brother Don, would you mind giving me a napkin? A napkin, please, kindly. Oh, okay. All right. I thought Boss was running for. I'm sorry that. I don't know where he went because he doesn't have a car. I'm sorry. Sorry about that. And he can come back, no problem. I don't want him to go home for that. I think he went out. I don't know where he went. He just knew that I needed a handkerchief. I'm sorry. We are having a problem with the vehicles. Somebody didn't fix our vehicle. And now we had one truck, so I usually leave them and come with one vehicle. And it's not fixed yet. We are supposed to go for it after church. So they said that we go for it before church, and they said, no, we don't want that. And I was telling my wife this morning that, did you see him?
Yes.
You saw for it? Okay, it's coming. Okay. Yeah, that's okay. I'm sorry. He was trying to help me. Yeah, so I was telling my wife this morning that, you must make sure, and that's what I discovered a long time ago. And whenever you're coming to serve God, the devil throws something all the time. The devil throws something. There's always something that the devil might be sickness or what. So it came to a place where I told the devil, and I'm not trying to brag or anything. I'll go, whether I'm sick or not. I'll go there. I'll go. Let me die. If I die here, that would be very good, serving him. I mean, that's the best thing. And the devil doesn't like this. And he'll fight with everything that he has. Because he knows what it is. You're coming to be fed. You're coming to be stronger. You're becoming to be a stronger enemy to him. He knows that. So he'll fight it out. He'll make sure that you don't come. And the best thing is to come. Even when, Brother Don read a quote in the camp. And that hit me hard. Sometimes you feel like not praying. Pray anyhow. You remember that quote, Brother Don? Pray anyhow. Because sometimes, I remember the prophet giving a story of how he went to the bushes, he wanted to pray. Every time he kneels down to pray, something is. And he stood up and said, I must pray. I got to pray. And whether ants bite me or anything, I'm going to pray. And that's the thing to do. It's the devil fighting. If you don't realize that, And one of the things the devil hates is when you realize him. He hates you revealing him, having a revelation about what he's doing and his act. So, when you realize that, I told my wife, every time we are coming to church, you hear that you're feeling unwell, you're having a backache, the boy is now, he just woke up, he's on to throw up. But I don't force nothing. You see, you're the man there. You should just tell them to come. No, I don't force nothing. I say, okay, if you can come, that's okay. If you cannot come, that's all right. But if it was me, I could just afford them, give them a ball, sit there. If you want to throw up there. That's me. And sometimes me is not very good. Me is forceful. So you don't go by me. I just let people do whatever. You remember when I was going to Pakistan, they called me and told me, no, you can't come. There are bombs everywhere. I said, Are you there? And people were telling me, don't come. Even there, what they were telling me, don't come. This is bad. It's bad here. I said, are you there? I'm coming. I'm coming to be with you, wherever you be. That's okay. If they are there, why not? Why not be? You know? But I'm very forceful. But I just like wanting to force myself, not other people. I don't like forcing other people. And that's it. So the devil has gotten my boy, and it's right. Now, I have a kind of a sensitive something here, and I'm sorry. You bear with me. This is kind of sensitive. I'm saying sensitive because I preached it somewhere one time, and I called it, "Let My People Go." Well, you remember that? Let My People Go. And it was a bit powerful. That's when Brother Holmes was there. I was preaching it in Mount Holly, and some people were there. And even the pastor there didn't like it because it touches on ministers. And I'm asking, don't excuse me on this. It touches on the ministers. It is mostly on the ministers. The thing that I'm talking about is the Nicolaitans. The ministers, the people who minister, the people, it touches on them. And ministers most of the ministers, not me and Don, of course, and Michael, they're good guys. Most of the ministers don't want to be touched. You touch them, they think that you are diminishing them and you are bringing them down before the light. They protect that ego. It's an ego they protect. I hope I'm not going to talk bad language in the pulpit. It's an ego. They protect kind of an ego. They want to sound big, the overlords, the what. That's what people do. That's what ministers do. And if you touch on that territory, it's a very soft area for them. And you get a rush. You get a problem with them. They don't like it. But and I've been accused of this, of attacking, like I'm attacking ministers. How can I attack ministers? I'm one of them. If you talk about a pastor, I'm a pastor of that something years studying, about 35 years studying. And I've started many churches. That's not what I'm fighting for. But when it comes to the word, this is very important. It doesn't matter me, you, whoever. When it's wrong, it's wrong. When it's right, it's right. It doesn't matter who it's on. But when we bring somebody up, like he's a God. Now, that is where God is. That's where the problem is. And the problem sometimes, I'm talking before I even read anything. but the problem sometimes is not even the man here. The man wants it. But at the same time, you people take him and uphold him and put him great, until now he doesn't want to come. He doesn't want to come down that ladder. He wants to stay there. And you remember what the prophet said? Now there were people who were baptized. That was a very great thing. He was being called Jesus in actions because he's supposed to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But now, instead of baptizing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, they were baptizing in the name of William Murray Branham. And that's putting him over there. What did he say? I would better be called by God a quitter than being called an antichrist. Because being lifted like that is antichrist. And wherever you read about it, you hear this statement. God hates it. And the prophet says, and the people of God will hate it. The other day there was a brother. I don't know him. I think I've never gone there. It's northern Uganda. I think as you're going to Sudan. And he called me one time. No, he didn't call me. I think he wrote me. I don't remember calling or saying, he called me and he said, "Brother, God bless you." And he said, "I'm given this number. I was in a dream and I saw your number. I don't know him. He doesn't know me. I saw your number," and so things like that. And he told me, "And I know, I have a revelation that now I'm talking to Jesus himself." And then he went talking. I told him, "No, you are talking to me, Stanley Gumba." I said, "No, I'm talking to Jesus himself." And I wondered, how do I go about that now? Because I also don't want to bring him down, like cut him or anything like that. I didn't know what to do. So I just let him finish. With him. I said, "Brother, God bless you. God bless you very much. God bless you very much for your dream and for all that. But brother, I don't have a title. Leave alone Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is, I don't go near there. Don't call me that. Please don't you never call me that. I'm not anywhere there. I'm a noble. Don't come to that. I'm simply your brother, if you want to call that. If you want to put a name behind my name, a title behind my name, put a brother. Put a brother. If you don't want that, that's okay. You call me Stanley Gumba. Stanley Gumba is okay. Stanley Gumba is good. Don't even call me Stanley. Just call me Gumba or Stanley, whichever. Okay, I told him that. I think I disappointed him a bit, but I told him. And I'm not saying you don't have a revelation. I'm not saying that. But for me, I don't want that. I don't want even you to come near that. And then he said, he's been calling me now. He's asking me when I'm supposed to go and preach. And he thought I would go when I was there. And I had to apologize because I wasn't able to go. And it's someone who reads the message like that. But there are people who do that. They list you up like that. And you don't want to, you want there. The problem is you want there. And you want to stay there. Whenever anybody puts you there, in the position of Jesus Christ, listen, and you want to stay there, you have an antichrist spirit. I'm sorry to say that. It's called simply antichrist. And I'm saying this about ministers. I know we are preaching on online. I'm talking about that's what ministers do. Ministers like that. To be called names, to be called this, to be called, and that's okay. Is that okay if you're called a pastor? That's okay. If you're called an apostle, that's okay. And you can call me an apostle. That's all right. But don't let this mind, like you are somebody, like Christ, like somebody. When you talk, anybody must keep quiet. Yeah. I'm saying this. Second guess me. You are not, there's nobody else who is not, am I using that word right? Second guess? There's nobody who is not supposed to be second guest. Except the prophet.
Amen.
And the only reason that the prophet cannot be second guest, you know, I hope I'm using that word right. Second guest.
Yes.
It's because this is what God did. In heaven, a seal was opened. A mystery opened in heaven. And when that mystery opened in heaven, it dropped down to no one else but to William and Branham. And that's in every age. That's not the case. I go to William Adam Branham and get that which came from God, and I get it to you.
Right.
You can second guess me. You can go back to the prophet and check whether this is true or not.
Amen.
And every one of you has a mandate before God. Whatever I say, to go back there and check. If it's wrong, leave it. Throw it away. It doesn't matter who it is. It doesn't matter whether it's pastor or whoever it is.
Amen.
That's why I say this is a bit sensitive. But this is the only place I can preach it. And Vika.
That's right.
Who it is. The only person who cannot be second guest.
Yeah.
And very many people want that position. A position where he says something is done, is gone, is like that. If you come questioning like that, if you question, even you question a bit, and it looks like you are doubting, you are second guessing him, that's a war. The next thing you are coming against the pastor. You are coming against him. Yes! Come against him. Come against me. If you are coming with the quote of the prophet to show me some, come with it. If you don't agree, that's okay. You can disagree with the pastor. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
The only person you cannot disagree with is the prophet.
Right.
And if you disagree with the pastor or any preacher, for that matter, if you disagree with them with respect. You just say, the only brother I'm seeing, I'm not seeing it. This is the way I see it. This is heresy. There's nothing wrong with that.
Amen.
They will pronounce curses to you that you are praying with God and God is fire. So you, that's okay. I'm not praying with nothing. I'm just saying, I don't see it. I'm not disrespecting anybody. And if you disrespect, listen, if you disrespect, not only the pastor, you, sister, you, brother, if I disrespect you, God requires me to respect you. And the prophet said, when I respect you and you respect me, we are respecting God.
Amen.
That's what he said.
That's right.
Respect is all. Respect is not only, but you got to respect the ministers, of course. You got to respect that. But I also got to respect you. Don't come talk to me like you're, I'm trash. Don't do that. Not that I can do nothing. It's because God requires you to respect me. You think God don't require me to respect you? God said, when you respect me and I respect you, well, then you are respecting God. God is happy in heaven.
Amen.
That's a quote in the prophet, in the book called Respects.
Amen.
Praise God. This is a very sensitive topic. And very many people don't want to touch it. And I know, I've been avoiding it. And I was asking God yesterday, what do I do? You remember I didn't finish on the Revelation 10, the difference between Revelation 10, 1 to 6, and Revelation 10, 7. I didn't finish that. It's coming. And I was asking God, what do I do now? And I went to other things. There's also some quotes that has been sent, or some people, I've seen some people using those quotes. And even this morning, it felt like I'm being pushed to that. And a brother from India was trying to send some things there, and we were talking back and forth. And I know where those quotes are coming from. And I had them. I had the two quotes. The two quotes has been quite something. I had the two quotes, and I had the quotes concerning those quotes that I was supposed to come. And I thought I would bring this, but then the Lord pushed me to this. And I had to bring this. Why is it that it is me? Why is it that it is me who has got to, I don't know, sometimes I tell God, why don't you let the other people bring those sensitive things? Some of these are so sensitive and touching that you get hit. But somebody's got to do it anyway. If the Lord falls on me, let it be.
Amen.
If the result of that is hatred, let me be hated. For his sake, no problem.
Yeah.
Praise be to God. All right. Let's come here. What are Nicolaitans? Nicolaitans, eh? Is it Nicolaitans?
You people with your eyes. You know, eyes, eh? Nicolaitan, is right? Nicolaitans. And sometimes the prophet puts it like any or the people in Japan. So now, when they were putting that, they put Nicolaitans. Yes. And then, but when you go to the Bible, King James Version, it's Nicolaitans, like T-A-N-S. Yeah, the King James Bible. It is found in Revelation 2:6. This is a very wrong topic. I'm just going to touch it. But if I'm not asking for another time, if Dawn have another time for me, I want to bring it slowly. I want to go slowly. This is where I'm headed to. I'm headed to Revelation 17. Revelation 17. I want to go to Revelation 12. We're going to see the woman standing on the sun and the moon like that. And then when the devil is cast down, we're going to go to Revelation 12. And then we go to Revelation 13. Revelation 13 is the same. It's Antichrist. This is Antichrist. This Nicolaitanic is Antichrist. It's a spirit of Antichrist. We go to Revelation 13, where there are two beasts. The prophet says, untamed beasts. And of course, there is the lamp, which is America, with two horns, ecclesiastical and political. And there's the lion, and the beast, the whole beast. And one of the heads was, what do you call that? It was hit. One of the heads was hit. Wounded. It was wounded. It was wounded to death. And everybody on earth marveled that it came to life. It's Antichrist. We want to come out with that. And then we come to Revelation what? Revelation And what is that next? That's Revelation 12. Okay, Revelation 11 is about the two ages. Revelation 13 is that. And then you go on and go on and headed to Revelation 17. And like that. That's a very wrong topic. This is the way you understand the devil. But the problem with this Nicodemus is he starts in the church. He starts like he's doing God's work. And sure he's doing God's work, but on his way. And that's okay. And we can go to Baramism. What is Baramism? And then what is Jezebel religion and all that. And all that combined together to make the denomination that we have. All right, but now for today is Nicolaitan. What is Nicolaitan? What are Nicolaitans? What are Nicolaitans? Now, let's go to the prophet and the prophet can tell us what Nicolaitans are. And if you have a question, please. I think we are a bit lazy. I don't think we understand everything that we talk here. I think we are a bit lazy. Take your pen and a paper. Write a question. Send it to me. Or send it to Brother. No, not Michael. Send it to the ministers. Especially, I wouldn't like what I've said to be sent to Don. Because I've said it. But Don is the one that can answer anything. That's okay. But if he says something I've said, send it to me. Every time I can show you my phone. It's full of questions from abroad, from the people that hear this, and ask questions. We got to do that also. Sisters, young sisters, please, and young brothers, please. This is yours. We are not just here to talk. We are just here to make people understand what God is doing.
That's right.
So it's very, very important for you to understand and go and move with us. If, don't be left behind. Ask a question. And if you ask me a question, I'll take my time. Of course, I've told a brother this morning and yesterday, just hold on, because I'm trying to study for service. I can tell you to wait a bit, but I will answer. By God's grace, I will answer. And you pray for me. You pray for me, I'll pray for you. And let's go together. Let's move together.
Amen.
So let's not just finish a topic and you don't understand where we're at. And God will help us. Now, Nicodemus. This word Nicodemus in the Bible, I think it's found majorly in two parts, in two places. That's Revelation 2, 6, I think Revelation 2:14, somewhere there, in the church of Pergamos, to the church of Pergamos, down there. I think verse 14, around there. Revelation 2, 6. But this thou hast, and this is big. This is so big, but I just cut it. They are up there. If you can see, I have about Nicolaitan and what the Nicene Council, the Ecumenical Council, which is equated to the WCC of today, and things like that. I brought all that. I've gotten all that. From the internet and from the Bible and from the prophet, and I've gathered all that together. But I cannot bring all that together. I mean, all that to you. But it's here. It's here. If you have a question on what was Nicaea Council, I will let you know and exactly when it happened and where it happened. We're going to give you the quotes and the information. You know, the other day, a sister called me and asked me, where is the Garden of Eden? And sometimes you think those questions are not important, but somebody has it in there. And if it's a Bible question, then there must be a Bible answer. You might think it's not important, but if there's a Bible question, there must be a Bible answer. And that sister made me go on my search, finding out, where is it today? Where can you point it? Where was it today? And like that. And the prophets, and the history, and the science, and everybody. But some things have changed. There's some rivers which does not go the way they were going that time. I don't know. Time has erupted and some rivers in the desert are no more rivers now. But it was a river. But they are the main rivers around there. And you can at least point this is around here and things like that. So, but I'm saying ask a question. And something else. Did you know? I'm not teaching nothing new, Brother Don. I'm sorry. But did you know that the prophet said that you have a pen and a paper? Did you know that? You have a pen and paper when you're teaching this. Yes, when you're teaching this, when you come to church, come with a Bible, your song book, and a pen and paper. So you can write it down. And sometimes he was telling people, write this down. And that says it all, write it down. so that he don't forget. And he said, you must have your pen must have a rubber at the, you know, a rubber, something to rub it on the other side. Because everybody, he was saying that everybody can make a mistake because he's a human being. So just write it down and ask a question if there's a question. Now that's it. So please, and why you don't do that, if you talk like this, if you preach like this, and then we get out, and you had not written that question, by the time you get outside here, it's gone. You had a question, but it's gone now. And sometimes we have this iPad, and iPads are good. You can just write there, or in your phone, no problem, but make sure it doesn't make noise in the church. So those questions are very important. Well, that's how we know that we are together and that we are going together. Now, what are these little things? Now, Revelation 2:6. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also God hate. This is something serious. This is something that you go to follow and see what it is that God hates, so that you must also hate it. And it's a serious thing. If you see God saying I hate it, it is a serious thing. In the kingdom of God, it's a serious thing. Amen. Now, there are two thoughts on what the Nicolaitans were. It is said by some, and why I read this is because there's a quote that you find by the prophet before 1963, before there, 1963. You find the prophet kind of leaning on that also. Kind of leaning on that. But this Nicolaitan was a doctrine taught by a man called Nicholas. You know, why I put that there is because of that. But the prophet comes here, after the seals were opened, he says, that doctrine was wrong. And that's the doctrine that is taught by all the churches. What in the Corinthians were. He says, it is said by some that there were a group of apostates who had as their founder Nicholas of Antioch, a proselyte who became one of the seven deacons of Jerusalem. And he goes on like that, and how he became that, and how he taught that, and how they went into dirty life, and like that, and how he went like that, and that's how they think that God hated it because of the kind of things they went into. Praise be to God. But now the problem with that, now the next quote. But the problem about this belief is that it is not true. That belief that it was a doctrine from Nicholas of Antioch is not true. It's not true. But the problem about this belief is that it is not true. There is absolutely no history for it. There's nothing you can go there and refer to it that is true. That Nicholas of Antioch was the one who brought this Nicolaitanic. Okay. It is based a tradition. It is a tradition that those people believe. To adopt such a view would make the church age of Ephesus absolutely historical. Everything that happened in Ephesus is something that God was doing. It's not historical. It's not only historical. It's something that has basis with what God was doing and is still coming. It's still coming. And everything that started there has got to end up here in the seven church ages. At the end of the seven church ages. To adopt such a view, obsolete historical, without bearing upon today, it's got to have, anything that happened there has got to have a bearing today. Everything that happened in the first church age has got to have a bearing today. That was when the wheat was being planted. This is when the wheat is being harvested. Amen. With no bearing of today. This is not true. For whatever starts in the early church must continue in every age until it is finally blessed and exalted by God. Or destroyed as an unclean being and taken to the lake of fire. When whatever started there has got to have two things. It's either God to come and God say, hallelujah, this is mine. And then God says it's good. Or it's taken to the lake of fire at the end here. So that thing is not true. All right, let's go here. What are these Nicolaitans? What are these Nicolaitans? The word comes from two Greek words, Nikao. This is so small. This is so low. But I had to bring it because of the... We still have some people that needs this, I think. That's my thinking, brothers. I know it's... I should not preach this to Don. And Sister Rhoda and Maybe sister. Like that. But this is, people need, people. We got to go back and see what are these things? What are these Nicolaitans? Okay. The word comes from two Greek words. Nikao, which means is Greek, which means to conquer. And Laos, which means the laity. The laity is the congregation. The congregation. To conquer in the laity. Is conquering the laity. Is conquering the congregation. Praise be God. It doesn't sound very good. But it sounds okay. What is conquering? Are you beating them? Or what are you doing to them? It's not like that. It's not like that. He's conquering them in a certain way. In a certain way. It's not according to the word. He's forcing them. Like if I say something, you're so conquered that you don't doubt. You don't say nothing. You got to follow me just like Bradley. Praise be to God. Let me say this. A lot of people, and I don't want to go that, but there's a brother called Brother Mwangi. Brother Mwangi was here or something. And I knew he's going to call, what he's going to call his church. He called it Liberty. I'm not sure whether there's liberty, but the mentality that he had was liberty, to have liberty. That is very important. That is very important. I'm the right person to put it this. Because I'm a pastor. I'm a pastor. Praise be to God. I'm not a pastor here. Brother Don is a pastor here. But I'm a pastor. I've been a pastor. For some. And this is what I've been studying for. People say now you're going to lose your church. No. Let me tell you something. You cannot say that you are fearing that you lose your church. At the same time, you are saying that none that the Lord has given me will go away. None of the Lord's will. Are you wanting a congregation? Are you wanting? Praise be to God. Amen. Let that can go. Let them go. Let them that are of the Lord stay. You're not sending anybody out. You're not sending anybody away. But the Lords will be Lords. And they will go nowhere. They will stay in the Lord. And I don't want anybody staying here like they are mine. I want everybody to stay in the Lord.
Amen. That's right.
But people want people. And we want crowns. I like this principle. Because I think I'm preaching the truth. I like it. But I don't want anybody holding that if Brother Goma says like this, I'm going to go away. I'll let you go. Because I'm going to say it. I'm not, that's wrong. I'm sorry about that. I don't mean that. I don't mean to tell anybody go. No, that's not what I mean. But it's got to be said, brother. The truth has got to be said. If we are here and we are not saying the truth, we are doing zero work. We are not preaching to the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the denominations have done. Yep. They have left the word so that they can have big congregations and big monies and bank whatever. That's what the denomination. That's what God is complaining about. It's very easy for people to fall in that kind of category. Category. It's a good category. We should not. We should run away from that.
Amen.
We should stand here and see it as it is. Right. And you, members of the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ, should not be hurt by the voice of your husband.
Amen.
If it's the word, then you say, hurry again, and you say, that's right. If it's not the word, call it out.
Amen.
Call it out. Call me. Tell me now, Brother Gumba, I just, Mr. Senior wants you here. And I'll come and sit you here. You come and sit me here. No, Michael, there. Let's talk it. Let's talk. If it's wrong, it's wrong.
Amen.
It doesn't matter how it's coming from whoever. It's wrong. Ask it. Call it out. Say, this is wrong. This is not according to the word. We don't want anything here but the word of the Lord.
That's right.
And that, of course, that is what we've been having. Which means laity. In plain fact, Somebody was doing something in that early church which was conquering the congregation or the laity. Okay. If the laity were being conquered, then it must have been some authority there doing it. There was an authority there, somebody. You know, when it comes to a place where and I pray that you will never come to that. I'll read it down there, how it comes. It comes so inoffensively, like it's nothing. It comes so slowly. And then in a while, it catches up. Then it holds. The prophet said, it squeezes all the spirituality, all the godliness that there is, and it's left like that. You are by with your Bible, with your quotes, and your everything, and there's no God at all. I mean, it's the people. That's what he does. I'm going to read it, maybe before we leave. It's a dangerous thing. It's a dangerous spirit. This is a dangerous spirit. And God is calling it out. Amen. It conquers. It squeezes all the godliness, but still telling you, giving you quotes, and giving you the word, and giving you that. It's a wrong spirit. It's a bad spirit. It rules with fear. That's right. And everybody trembles. Everybody trembles when you hear that. Everybody trembles. And the fact, listen, the first doctrine in that congregation is usually that person. Or those people. If they are bishops, whatever. In every church, the first doctrine, don't come against the preacher. Don't come against the bishop. Don't come against, that's the first doctrine in that church. Always. And people there live with fear. They can say anything and you say amen. Because if you look like you're not saying amen and a good amen, some people just say, did you know that it's come to a place where the pastor, yes, brother, where people, you know, you touch them. And I don't say that God don't heal. God heals. But I don't want him to, Don was talking about it the other day. I don't want him to make me fall. This floor is hard. I don't want that. I want him to heal me. I don't want to fall. What is falling for? And you see in a line, because they want to please the preachers. They want to preach those people and telling them, they go there, they go there, they go there. When the first one falls, because the second one don't want to seem like he's not spiritual enough, so he falls. And there are some people who are waiting for them to fall. They know they're going to fall. I'm not saying you cannot fall. I'm not saying that. But something is not real.
Amen.
Something is not real. Something is not real. God heals. God heals. In fact, I was reading yesterday that the only subscription by the doctor called Dr. Moses that he had in the wilderness was this. Is it called subscription from the doctor? The only thing was this. God healeth all your diseases. That's all they had. That's the kind of medicine they had in the wilderness. And they stayed, I don't know for how many years, 40 years. The Bible says 40 years. And even their clothes did not get torn. And the prophet was asking, how many women? 2 million people, how many women were having children there? And the only prescription, prescription. And the only prescription that Moses had was, God healeth all your diseases. Even having a baby, God will take care of that. And God took care of them. There were no doctors. God heals. But this kind of makeup to make the church big or to make the church or to make the minister happy. And if you question that, then from there, from the pulpit, you hear bumps. It's called bumps. Babs, 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 until you feel like you're uncomfortable to stay here. There's nothing like that. You question me in the next session, I'll not even talk about that. Because it's not necessary. If we talk with you, we talk with you. That's it there. Amen. And the problem is, if I want to talk to you again, I come to you.
Amen.
This is serious, brothers. This is something very serious. I know it's sensitive. I know people are going to listen to it even. But that's okay. That Don't hate me. Whatever you do, just don't hate me. It's a conviction in my heart that this is right.
Amen.
I don't want to bring it, but this is right. And those spirits have got to be called out. But it's a very subtle. Is it subtle? S-U, subtle. Very subtle. Very. We got a subtle. It's very subtle. It's a very subtle spirit. It's a very cunning spirit. If it goes around and around, you can't catch it. You can't catch it. Only God helps you. And people live with fear. Some people come to church. Let me tell you something else. And this is it. Don't come to church, because if you don't come here, you're going to die. No, you're not going to die. You're not going to die. Come here so that you hear from the Lord.
Amen.
How many people don't come here and don't die?
Amen.
You got... This is... I'm not going to talk bad, but this is a place for worship. You come worship God. And nobody's going to look whether you... It's like giving tithes. And I didn't want to talk about those things. But this is it. You give tithes. And somebody was saying, why don't we go around and ask him? No! You give tithes. You give offerings. Whatever you want. We are not... If you don't want, it's all right. Don't. We don't even follow whether you are doing it or not. We don't care. The only thing we care is... Oh, is he going to be blessed? Because the Lord said, you don't give, then I'm going to tear your pockets and I'll make sure you don't have nothing. You such much, you can put in the pocket and it goes out. That's what the prophet said. That's what the Bible said. I'll tear your pockets. And he said, try me.
Yes.
He's not trying the church. He's not trying the pastor. It's not me who is trying you. Have you? It's not me trying you. It's him.
Amen.
It's you trying him, not me. If you don't give your tithes, try me if I don't bless you. And if you don't, I will not bless you. That's physical. Paying tithes and things is just physical. There's nothing spiritual in that. You're going to stay here and hearing the word and so forth. But your problems at home, you start disturbing you until even hearing now becomes a problem. Because you got to hear by the ears and it goes to the heart. Even hearing now starts becoming a problem. So, yeah, sometimes there will be diseases in your house so that you can use all that money and take it to the house. I'm just talking. I'm just running my mouth, brothers. But these things are true, brother. These things are real. You think God can say, try me and just for a joke? It's not. And I don't talk like, you know, wherever I go, sometimes we have groups in Kenya. I've never wanted to be a treasurer because I know myself. I don't have money. If you give me money and my children are hungry at home, I'm going to use that money. They're not going to go hungry, crying. I'm going to use it and tell you I used it. So I don't like money. I don't like talking about money. I don't like nothing to do about money. I don't even preach about money. But it's the truth. It's the word of God. You don't give tithe. You get some curses, physical curses with you that goes with you all the time that don't leave you. You put your money there, it goes. You put your money there, it goes. That's not my topic. I'm sorry. But again, you don't do those things for the pastor. You don't do those things for anybody. You do it for God.
Amen.
But if you don't get tithes, you're going to die. No. It's not, we are not interested in that. It's upon, that is, our religion is, it's between you and God. Can I tell you, brother Richard, it's not even you and her. It's her with the Lord and you with the Lord. Each one of you. When it comes to him. And she must leave you and all things. Not physically, of course. That's your wife. She must leave you all in her head and cling unto the Lord. And you must leave her and all on earth and cling to the Lord. And if she comes to the Lord and you come to the Lord, now you both can come and cling to the Father. This is To me, this is God. This is His word. Okay, now let us come here. I didn't know about. I didn't want to come like that. Being conquered, then it must have been an authority there doing it. An authority that makes you. In some places, they make people tremble. They make people fear. When you're talking to the past like that, I remember one time, I was not making that sister tremble, but I remember one time, just God opened something like that. I just saw the sister, and something came to my mind, and we were just passing by. I said, okay, excuse me, sister. I said, did you? And she started trembling, looking at me, and I thought, I didn't want that. Of course, she knew. And I said, please, God, talk to your husband. I left it there. I've never talked about it. I've never talked to even the husband. He didn't know that I told her. Nobody knows. Praise be to God. I'm not calling myself the standard. I'm not. I'm the weakest amongst you. But I'm saying, I'm against this spirit, brothers.
Amen.
I'm against it. Totally.
Yes.
God hates it. I hate it.
Amen.
What was it that God hated that was happening in that church? What was going on then and is now going on today is exactly what the word in the Corinthians means. The people were being subjected somehow in a way that was absolutely contrary to the word. This does not, to the word of God. This does not mean that the words will not be preached. Sometimes you can hear the words. But it goes on like that. It goes on like that. And even the bringing of the word, that's not according to the prophet. That's according to my experience. It goes on like that. And the preaching of the word even comes lower. Lower. When that spirit is there, it makes sure. Because you cannot, I'll bring the other part. And you find that there's no this Nicolaitans without the spirit of Baramism. Baramism and this goes together. The other things that comes together with that, they are always together. Is this, the Jezebel religion. Jezebel religion. You know who Jezebel was? How many knows that? But how many knows Balaam? Balaam is the one who taught the children of Israel. When he was defeated, he wanted money. He wanted money. But I'm not talking about Balaam today. But that's okay. Let me just mention it so that you don't know what I'm talking about. Balaam was a prophet that God was talking to. A prophet that was God was talking to. Of course, he was not a righteous man in that he was not a member. He was not a son of God. But the prophet was, the God was talking to that prophet. And now he was told by Barak. Barak was a country, was a man, was a king. And he told him, come and curse these people because wherever they go, they defeat everything and they conquer everything. So come and curse them. Come and curse, because I know you're a prophet. Come and curse them. And he tried to curse them and God could not curse them. He actually blessed them. Then he decided he's going to do something. He's going to do something to achieve what he wanted. He called the people and told them that their cousins, they were the children of Lot, I think, the children of Lot, that tribe was the tribe of Lot, and Lot and Abraham were kind of a niece and an uncle. So they come together. We are brothers, and got them together. And actually, they got their doctrine, spiritually speaking, their doctrine and this doctrine, and they mix this together. Actually, they committed adultery in dancing. That was physical. But actually, that was a type of people mixing this doctrine and this doctrine. Let me tell you something. We can have any preacher here. I don't care. In fact, I want more preachers here on this pulpit. More preachers. You can correct them wherever you correct them. But when they come, I'm not going to mix. If they have something that's not according to what, I'm not going to mix with it. I refuse it. I'm going to let them know. This and this and this. Brother Don has been telling me that you're courageous. I think he told me that yesterday. Courageous to say these things. But I don't even know where that comes from. It's just some kind of, no, this. And sometimes I take very long to do it. I've written things, brother, that are right there. I've not even put them on. Because I'm fearing that if I put them there in those groups, some people will be. But there's some things that God pushes me until I just put it there. And I'm not trying to say I'm anybody. But I'm saying, if anything is not according to the what? And listen very carefully, brothers. Anything that is not according to the word and is said here in the pulpit, there's something that God has given to you.
Yes.
That's why I don't fear.
Yes.
There's something that God has given to you. It's called a thinking man's filter.
Yes, sir.
You have it in your heart.
Amen.
You don't know why, but I've said something here and he said, In the Swahili, we say, Iyo haingi. Is that what we say, brother Boso? Iyo haingi. That one is not hitting. Something is not getting there. I don't understand. I cannot even take a finger and point it. I don't know. But it's not getting there. God has given you something. Don't worry. If such something raises up, don't even keep quiet, you sisters. Don't even keep quiet. Come to the pastor. Talk to them. What is this brother saying? Right? Do you have a coat here? Is it true? Say it. And brother, you are obligated by God not to come here and tear him down. You are obligated. Even if he's from Ohio or wherever, go see him. If he doesn't come back here and correct it, you can correct it. I'm sorry. That's too strong. But yes. Yes, you can tell the sister, this is wrong. There's nothing wrong. That's why you see us here in Mitandao. We call it Mitandao in Swahili, in the groups. As you call it Mitandao on the online. You see us there, kind of, you think you are fighting? We are not fighting there to show that we are nothing. We are nobody. But something in us. You remember that man, what was his name? What was that man that was very strong? Samson. You remember Samson? Yeah, Samson was just a nobody. Nobody. No, but he's coming. He's gotten there even to do bad things in the village, in the city. And he's gotten there. And the city is surrounded with a big, big wall. And they are get there. And he comes out after doing things that are bad. Then he comes, he wants to go. And they found out that he was in the city there, in one of the rooms of the dirty people. And he comes back there. And when he's just at the gate there is rocked. And now they are going to attack him. The Spirit of God comes. And he does that. And he takes the gates. All the gates. The gates that very many people would not hold. Would not even hold. One gate was held like that. And he takes them and puts them on the shoulders. And then walks. Not down the hill. Because you can see he was dragging them. Up the hill with them. You see, you think that God that was doing that with Samson is not here with us? Sometimes he comes in, don't help. And you, why is he so much there on that group? Or why is he so much on this? It's the same spirit that was taking Samson that takes down. And you find yourself, no, brother, this is not it. You're not fighting for yourself. We are not fighting to be nobody. We are not fighting to become big, to look big, to look like. We know it all. That's not the reason we are here. That if that is the reason I'm there, I'm going to run away, Brother John. I don't know that. I'm there saying those things because there's something here that has come and helped me. And told me, bring it, put it there.
Yeah.
Not to bring anybody down, not to bring anybody out, but bring it there and place it there. And that's the purpose that we have, to serve him, not to serve our egos and to show how big we are and things like that. No, sir. If it's like that, then it's wrong. It's wrong. God hates it. I hope I've got a fish. Now. What was going on then is now going on today. It is exactly what the word Nicolaitan means. The people are being subjected somehow in a way that was absolutely contrary to the word. Now, so this Nicolaitan group remained a part of the first church age. They continued with that. They remained there. Although they are not wanted because the people realize them. In other words, they can say, don't. If you say it, just leave it there. Just leave it there. Is going to work. Let me tell you something. Another thing that we have, we think that we can, don't be tired. I'm just finishing. I'm not going to go very well, very much. But listen, we cannot help the word. I hope you get what I've said, Mr. Senior. You cannot have it. Just let it go. Let it there. Yes. And leave it. It has the ability and the power to do whatever it was sent to do. If there's a seed, it's going to go there and it's quick enough. And it knows. The Lord knows, who are you compared to it? We try to help it. Yeah, you must believe. If you don't believe, you don't. And threaten again. No! The seed, leave it there. It knows how to negotiate. It knows how to go. It knows its own.
Amen.
You do catch up with that. If you correct, just leave it there. Don't be angry. Because sometimes we preach and we find that people are kind of not getting it and we get angry. Don't get angry. Don't. It's okay. It's okay. Even if you told me I don't get it, it's okay. Just wait for me tomorrow. If you think it's right, I'll understand it tomorrow. If not, even understand it somehow. A certain day I will understand it. If there's another thing that you can help me, maybe another way you can come, you bring it that way. Do you know sometimes? I used to send Brother Moriah to places to preach Marian Force. Well, he knew very much. He was very good at that. Not the best person that I've ever had with my. He had his own ways, but the best, the way he brings Marian Force. There's something that he called. Women's Day, something. Is that, what do you call Women's Day? Something. Mother's Day. He calls it Mother's Day. If he comes with Mother's Day, and I like people to listen, but he's in Kikuyu. When Brother Moriah preached Mother's Day, he brought all that, the marriage and things like that. And did you know that I went to some places and I heard what people believed and what they were doing? I just go tell Brother Moriah, please, would you mind going to this place and preach something? Because I'm not interested. He's better than me on that. Why not go there and help the people? There's no competition here. There's no competition. We have one purpose, to get the people to this truth. I'm very happy that the other day, Don was being told by people in Kenya, the best thing to do, you Brother Don and Brother Gumba, is for you to come around. And we go so that we have you more. People are deciding to hear this. There's no competition, there's no nothing. I don't even ask them, what did Don preach? No, I don't. The only thing that I would like to listen to him preach is, and another thing, people fear that even, Brother Don, forgive me, people fear, I can't fear, if Don goes to Kenya, he'll be loved more than me. You don't think that? I'll give you a scripture. Do you remember when Israel and Israel was divided? And there was Israel here and Judah there. And there was Rehoboam and Jeroboam. And then Jeroboam, I think Jeroboam or Rehoboam, one of them, was in Israel, part of Israel. Right? And down there, they were supposed to go every year to Jerusalem to worship, where the temple was and things like that. So then now they wanted to go, and the king thought, if they go, they're going to love Jeroboam or Rehoboam, one of them. They're going to love him more than me. So he refused them to go. And he made some things here, some idols, and told them, worship this instead of going to Jerusalem. And when God saw that, he was so, it's the same spirit, brother.
That's right.
God was so angry. But he came and said, is it now, it's not Naphtali, I think Gad and Manasseh and some other tribes, almost two tribes like that. He said, you are cut off. Because it was, the scripture was very clear that whoever shall worship any other god except God, he'll be cut off under the earth. Yeah. So their names, when you count the names of Israel, those names are not there. But Joseph and Manasseh, things like that. It's a bad thing. God hates it. Anywhere, God hates it. Yeah. That I fear now, that's why people fear, Rebecca, you should never even go to, say, for example, Josh Bennett. You should not go. And now, employ some people here. The sisters will be looking at you. Why are you there? So that you don't laugh. I don't want to be loved. Love Jesus. If you love Jesus, you love me.
That's right.
You love Jesus, that's all. We went there sometimes with her, and maybe some people hear this, but I talked to somebody about that. We went there with bride one time, one evening, and even my young ones. We went there, and we stayed there. And immediately we got out there, he asked me, what are they saying? What are they saying? He said, what you heard them say? They were saying that we are waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that we are the foolish virgin, we are the wise virgin who is being told, he's coming, wait. And Reddy asked me, is that the right idea? He said, that's where they are. That's where they are. And the prophet advised you to choose a church where is full gospel, where the full truth is being preached.
Amen.
Look for that. I don't understand. I also don't understand. And you can go nowhere, anywhere in the church. But I don't understand you if you go there and make it to your church. To sit there and hear that every day. I don't understand. Is it wrong? It's up to you. It's up to you. There's no problem. Make it to yourself. That's no problem. But no! Let me say this. If the word of the hour is not being preached, then death is being preached to those people.
That's right.
It's hard. It's bad. It sounds bad. But that is the naked truth. And message of the hour is not a book because you are carrying Brother Brown's book. Because, no! The message of the hour is a particular message.
Amen.
That the church ages are dead and they are over. And here we are. He has come. We don't preach that we are coming for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't preach that. Brother Don, we don't preach that. No, he came.
Amen.
Revelation 10, 1 to 6 happened.
Yes.
He's here. The seventh seal brings him down. That's exactly right. He's here.
Amen.
If you are preaching anything else, being told, be prepared, have the oil, he's coming. That is the church ages, and it's over.
Amen.
What is that? That is death. And you cannot eat death for a very long time until death kills you. You must be careful. Am I scaring you? No! For what gain? For what gain, brother? I'm not. I'm just telling you the truth. Do you want to go there and make it to your church? That's all right. That's okay. I would advise you not to, but it's your right. Will I stop calling you a brother, sister? No! I'll continue telling you that you're my brother, you're my sister. If I have a coat, I'll still give you. I'll be praying for you. I'll tell you to pray for me. And we'll continue. No problem.
Amen.
But I won't! A place where the whole truth is being preached.
Yes.
This is the time. Listen. This is the time for the whole truth and the whole Holy Ghost. I don't know whether that is confusing a bit. Very next time. The time for the whole word and the whole Holy Ghost.
Amen.
It's here. Let's go on a bit. Let's go on. I don't know whether I'm going to finish. So this Nicolaitan guru remained a part of the first church age. Doing the deeds were hated. These deeds you transform to something else after some time. When it comes to Revelation 2, I think 14 there, on Pergamos church, it will not now be a deed only. It will be a doctrine. It mutated to that. It changed to that. It became a doctrine, something that's being taught that this is the high person and you got to respect him and you got to fear him and the fear was put on the people and people didn't have the liberty. They were conquered. Did you know that sometimes ministers, what do you call that, raised up much more than Jesus Christ himself.
Amen.
Yes. You can read somebody a scripture or a quote, but that's the same mentality. Or a quote, the prophet says this, but because his pastor is saying this, he holds to this more than to this. That's right! Oh, we had a sister here that was talking to my wife. about polygamy and things like that. But I knew how his pastor teaches, because I've been with his pastor or her pastor. I knew. So he says that you cannot have polygamy, because you're going to make the sister unhappy. And that's true. Sisters are not happy. Sisters don't like polygamy. and that's okay. But I don't know why God brought it. I don't know. God brought it there. God loves the sisters. God loves the sisters. God loves it. You say God don't love the sisters. No! God loves the sisters. In fact, the prophet said that, the Bible said that we got to respect them, because we know that we share eternal life together in heaven. They're going to go with us to heaven. But yet God brought polygamy there. Does it hurt? I would say it depends. Let me say that. Let me say it depends. On a makeup of people. People are different. I've seen people in Kenya bringing another girl home. A woman bring another girl home. Marry this. I've seen that. I don't know why. I've seen that, brother. I don't know why. But there must be a reason, maybe. I don't know. So maybe it depends. But all the same, take the word of God and throw it away. Because sisters are unhappy. Are we going to do that? Tell me. Be judges of yourself. Are we going to take that whole thing that the prophet said polygamy was introduced and take it and throw it away? That was what that girl was telling me. And I said, no, sister. Let's look at what the prophet said. He said, I know it. The pastor has told me it's enough. It's done. My wife, I think, tried to read to her. She doesn't want nothing to read. Praise be to God. Let me say this. I know some things that we do, even according to the word of God. I know it's painful, but I'll tell you this, and a senior. You not go through the kind of pain that Paul went through when he was killed. Peter, because of this, was crucified upside down. You not come to that. The kind of pain they went through because of this. All the pains that we can feel for him, that's okay. Don't leave this, even if I got a gunpoint. I'll tell them, make sure that you shoot where I'll not feel pain. Just shoot. I'm not going to leave it. Pain sometimes is part of it. So this Nicolaitan group remained a part of the, I've read that. Thus we see the seed of seeds in Ephesians that will continue and will become a doctrine that will go right up to and into the lake of fire. So that's the Nicolaitan thing. We continue until it is taken to the lake of fire with the people who propagate it. Lake of fire. That's where it's headed. Now, but see what was happening back there. That first vine was getting a hold, and it was teaching that rulership by man was right. It taught that the church had to be governed. It taught a control over the people. But instead of doing it God's way, they simply took authority and vested all the spiritual power. That's why you hear that they kind of have mediators. The father is the mediator. You come here and tell him, Father, I did this and did this and this, forgive me. And he mediates. Now he tells Jesus, forgive this. That's right. You see, that's the kind of mentality that can come here. And you have it in your head. God called it that. Whatever it is, whether it's in your head here, but you don't go to dawn and tell him this, forgive me that. Whether it's here or where, that mentality, that spirit is wrong. It's Nicolaitan, and God hates it. He taught that the church had to govern. He taught the control of the people. But instead of doing it God's way, they simply took authority, invested all the spiritual power in their own hearts, and came out with the holy priesthood. Now that will bring a holy priesthood, standing between God and the people. They went right back into the Aaronic system. They became Antichrist, for they deposed off his mediatorship. He's the mediator between God and you. Jesus Christ says, and imposed their own. God hated that. The Ephesians hated that. And any true believer, we hate it too. We would have to be stone blind in order to see that same thing at work all through the ages. And right now is the worst of all. What it was organization. It was denomination. It was organization that separated the people. This people, this is the class of people. These are the class of people. In fact, in those, some of the denominations, if you are rich, if you are good, you are rich. Something was happening like that in Kenya. And someone started saying, the churches, they are staying so long, so the time should be changed. And I saw it, I said, no. We decided as the church, because in Vika, everything that is done by the people. So we come there and ask, what are we going to do? What time do you want to come? Then we decide this time. It was decided by the church, so we are not going to change because of him. Until he comes and tells the people, he can tell to the people, can we change face? That's okay. But you know, he's not going to stay in far away in another country and say, no, because he isn't seen. He says, no, we are going to, we don't want that. You're staying too long. And that preacher who is coming must shorten it down. I said, no. You know, he's maybe in a country in America, like America. In America, we need to preach for 1 hour or something like that. In Kenya, when you preach 1 hour, you're joking with them. You're just joker. You don't know that. I want to preach you more. In fact, sometimes I finish and say, no, brother, it's not your time. Continue. And sometimes I finished what I'm saying. So I look at for another someone right there. And I shot someone and I preach it. That's right, because they want it. Now a brother is coming. And I had some resources there. No. They called me and said, no, let the brother free. Let the minister free here. When you come here, be free. Bring whatever God helps you to go. I don't want controlling of the... Let them be controlled by the Holy Ghost. And it can come. Very easily. Like, it's a good thing. You know, you are making people tired. You know, you know, you go to change time because sometimes I want to lay. I mean, I want to sleep late. And you know, like that. You know, and when you have money, you feel like you. Let me tell you something, brothers. I'm the poorest guy here. Let me tell you, I don't lament. No, I'm okay. Do you know what? And I'm not bragging, brother. But every time I move, God is there. That's all I need. That's all I need, brothers. I don't need bunch of money and bunch of cash. I don't want that. Don't I want money? I want money, of course. I want money. But I'm not going to do like so that people can give me respect and things like that. People respect people with money and with big education and big minds like that. That's good. Education is good. Education is very, very good. Intellectuality is very, very good. Money is very, very good. All that is good. But when it comes to this, let all be under this.
Amen.
Nothing should come above this whatsoever. Praise be to God. God's people are supposed to be one. Okay, where did I go? We would have to be stoned by it, not to see what's happening in these ages. Right now, it is the worst of all. What was organization? I'm probably from there. Okay, let me go. God's people are supposed to be one. By one spirit are they all baptized into one body. And everyone is to be moved upon the Holy Ghost. And everyone is to participate in the worship of God. But man wanted the preeminence. So they took over control. And bishops became archbishops. And imposing titles, they bypassed the word of God and taught their own doctrines. They got the people to obey them. Can you get that? They got the people to obey them. If I say something, you cannot say no. I'm the bishop. I've been promoted from a pastor, I'm the bishop. In fact, they don't start with a pastor. They start with, I think, a leader. A leader, something, somebody, and things like that, and then the pastor, and then the senior pastor, then the what? Then it comes to bishop, then like that to the Pope. Some people don't have Pope, but they have something that is just like Pope. Like the Anglican Church has somebody called the Bishop of Canterbury. Bishop of Canterbury. Because he started in London. That's their Pope. And each church have their own popes. Of course, we are accused that we have a Pope called Brother Branham. But that's okay. Let him be my Pope. That's better. I know where he came from. I know where he got that what he brought to me. I know where he got it from. And he challenges them. Tell them, tell me everything that I've said. Where? It failed. One, not two times. One single time. Whenever I say, is that is the Lord. When it failed one time. Tell me. You see, sir, that somebody, I'm not going to take him like God. He's not God, but I'm going to. What he says, I'm going to follow. God has vindicated. God has shown me that that's his man. Okay. They got the people to obey them until the time came. Their way of worship did not in any way, that's where it goes. In any way. Now from there, the way of worship did not in any way at all disable the early days after Pentecost. These deeds were the beginning of apostolic succession. From apostolic succession, it was one easy and quick step to church membership. You belong here, you got to write your book, in a book, you belong here, you belong here. As a means of saving grace, and when you belong to this church, we can have the same kind of mentality. That if you don't belong here, there's four walls. That's the same with a book. You belong here, in those four walls. If you go away from these four walls, you go to hell. That is the same mentality of a book, that you write your book. That if you don't write to you in a book, in our book, you're going to go to hell. Okay, that's the same mentality. It can go in different ways. The devil is not. The devil knows that you know that writing you on a book, actually. Because there's nothing wrong in writing you in a certain book. In fact, I would like to have all the church members here in a book. And their numbers. There's nothing wrong with that. And their numbers. So that whenever we have something, we can call them. We have something, we have this. Of course, we have a group. There's nothing wrong. Is that mentality? That mentality that because now you are here in this church and you belong here and don't as your pastor, you must go to heaven. You are in the Word. There are even people who say that I'm in the Word because they are in a certain group and that's not the Word. This followers is not the Word. Being at the dawn's pastorship is not the Word. This is the Word. Word, okay, now it's God. As a means of saving grace. The Word was reduced to creed, to a creed. Antichrist, by his spirit, was predominating the church. That is Antichrist. Those spirits are Antichrist. Now, the Antichrist was now predominating. He was the head. He was the big person there. The devil himself now was, all right now. The difference between 1 Timothy 3 and Ephesians 4:1. We lost Michael. I hope he's all right, wherever he is. God bless him. The question asked by Moon. Moon, if you're listening in, or if you're going to listen after this, Moon follows us very much. Moon Wasim. His name is Moon Wasim. He's from Pakistan. This is his question. He was asking whether a pastor can have two wives. You know, he was asking that question. I would like to answer it according to the Bible and according to the prophet. In 1 Timothy, I may not be able to read that. In 1 Timothy, it talks about a bishop. It's about a bishop and how a bishop is going to be. This is the conditions for a man to become a bishop. In 1962, when was Taking Sides with Jesus preached? I don't remember. Taking Sides with Jesus was preached in 1962. The prophet was saying the same thing about that, you know, when you start a church. That's how he was saying it. When you start a church, you start this church, and then you leave it with a pastor. And then you go somewhere else, you start another church. I have about seven churches. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. About six churches that I've started myself in Kenya. Now, that being the case, You live with a pastor. They are being pastored by people. You leave a pastor here. You have another church. You go somewhere and you start another one. You start it here. You go to another one. You start it here. And now the prophet was talking about that. And he was saying that when you've done that, that was 1962. He says that when you've done that, all those churches, all those pastors are under you. And now he was going by the history. And the history teaches that you who started those churches and those pastors under you, now you are the bishop. He was kind of leaning to that side, 1962. But this is 1964. The 1964. According to the prophet, the church ages was finished. And it waited, the church ages waited until the seals were opened that this can come, that it can be written. It was waited to be corrected by the seals when the seals were opened. So this is after the seals. Now after the seals, he says no. And he says, even Polycarp, a man that was so Christian, leaned on that side. Martin Luther took them out of that, and then he took them back. That's what he says. But the whole truth had not come. Now this is the whole truth. So you recall, so 1 Timothy is a bishop. How what a bishop is supposed to be. And I'm going to show you what a bishop is now, right now. If you give me about a few minutes. Who is a bishop? Who is the bishop? It's time. Oh, it's getting late. But let me just go very fast here. Who you recall that I brought out in the Ephesians, but I should have said about the 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy talks about who a bishop is supposed to be. A bishop, and I'm going to read. Maybe that's, I may not be able to read it. But a bishop is somebody who desires. If you desire to be a bishop, these are the things that you will be. Like your children, like this, like you have must be a man of one wife. And that is where he was getting it from. That even you cannot be a preacher because you have two wives, you can't be a preacher. And there's also a quote like that. The prophet says, anything that is going to be chosen in a church or something like that, you can be. But now, I want to bring it in the right manner here so that you can. Because this is something that the devil also takes and brings to the people. I'll let you know. Because we have talked about bishops now, let's talk about. You recall that I brought out in the Ephesian church that the word in Nicolaitan, he's referring, this is now in Pergamos church, but it's now referring in Ephesian church, what he said. We just read that, what Nicolaitan was. Now he's repeating here, because there's another scripture there that's talking about it. He says, church, that word Nicolaitan comes from the Greek word Nikao, which means to conquer, and Lao, which means variety. Nicolaitan means to conquer variety. Now, why is this such a terrible thing? It is terrible because God has never placed his church in the hearts of an elected leadership. That's what he says. Leadership. Which moves with political mindedness. That I'm great, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. Like Trump does. It doesn't go like that. God has placed his church in leadership, which moves with political mindedness. He has placed his church in the care of God ordained, spirit filled, word living men who lead the people through feeding them the word.
Amen.
So it's a very thin line that there must be leaders. Is that right? But the leaders are not going to conquer. The leaders of God that are ordained of God, they don't conquer, they don't have authority. Okay, he's going to read. Praise his church in care of God, the deep spirit field, one living man who leads the people through feeding them the word. I'm saying that. Let me make this comment, even if we don't have time. I preached something. You remember what I preached in the meetings, in the Vika, in the Easter meetings? I preached something. And I had already said it. In fact, we had kind of an argument here. Not an argument, but just a debate. That those cherubims in Genesis are not the same cherubims here. I said they are. Brother Don, I don't think you remember. I don't know whether you remember. In your house, I said they are. They're the same. And somebody wrote me and said, no, it's not. They said, it is. It is. And these are the quotes. These are the quotes of the prophet. Those cherubims in Genesis 3, 24 that was put to guard the three, and the cherubim say are the same. The prophecies, they are the same. And after we preached that in there, somebody called somebody, his pastor, and said, why is this being said? And somebody so and so has never preached it like that. He should not say it because so and so hasn't. Brother, that makes me sick. That makes me, I mean, somebody should ask me, why did you say that and the prophet has not said it? Not why have you said it and Brother Don has not said it. I'm saying Don, because Don is here. Don has not preached it. Why preach it? I don't preach Don. And any minister should not preach another. Michael should not preach Don. And Don, you should not preach me.
That's right.
Go to God. Amen. Get something for the people. If you don't, sit down.
Amen.
That will not make you a lesser pastor. If you don't have, sit down. If I don't have, let me sit down. And wait. When it comes, I take it and bring it to you. And it will be fresh from the Lord. Not from somebody who preached it. I can preach the same thing that don't preach. That's okay. If God can give you, that's why he called him and he called me. God can, Brother Don can bring the same thing. And God tomorrow gives me the same thing. And when I bring it, I'll bring it in a certain manner. Because God wants it to be brought like that.
That's right.
Praise be to God. That marveled me. Why should somebody say that? Somebody who has been in this world for the last maybe that, why should he say that? It is the kind of denominationalism that is in the minds of the people, brothers. That says God to go away. It's not of God. God hates it. He has not separated the people. That, okay. Mm-hmm. Church in his heart, directed leadership, which moves with particular guidance. It's okay. Where am I? Okay, praise is just in the gods. Just the care of God, the divine spirit, place this church in the heart of the elected leadership, which moves with political mightiness. He has placed this church in the care of God, the divine spirit, filled all living men, who lead the people through feeding them the word. He has not separated the people to classes. This class, this class. This is the class, this is the bishop, this is what, and this are the right, this is the small, this is big. He has not. In fact, the prophet the other day, I read a quote, he said, we are all equal. We are all equal in the eyes of God. I think you know that story of somebody who got in through the window. And they were given robes. And this guy didn't have a robe. And the prophet said, do you know why they had robes? The robes mean the Holy Ghost. It's the same Holy Ghost, Sister Eden, that you've been given, that have been given. It's the same.
Amen.
We are all equal. That's why you don't have a white robe, a black robe, a blue robe. No, they are all white robes put on. Every one of us has a white robe.
That's right.
Same. You don't have a bigger Holy Spirit and have a lesser spirit. No, it's the same Holy Ghost to every one of us.
Amen.
What living men who lead the people through feeding them the word. He has not separated the people into classes so that the masses are led by the holy priesthood. It is true that the leadership must be holy, but then must also the whole congregation. Amen. Father, there's no place in the world where priests, ministers, or such mediate between God and the people. But we got to hear from you. Unless you hear from me, you're not going to go to heaven. If you do something wrong, I'm going to forgive you. And so forth and so on. Between God and the people. No. It's the end place where they are separated in their worship of the Lord. God wants all to love and serve him together. Nicolaitanism destroys those precepts. And instead separates the ministers from the people. And makes the leaders overlords instead of servants. Now, this doctrine actually started. Now the prophet is going to say. Now, this doctrine actually started as a deed in the first age. It appears that the problem lay in two words. Now, let's see. The problem lay in two words. Presbyters. Elders in two words. Elders, that is presbyters. You can call an elder a presbyter. That's the same. The Presbyterian church is a church of elders. That's what it means. Presbyter. Presbyters. And overseers, who are bishops. Overseers and bishops are the same. Those scripture shows that there are several elders in each church. Shows that several elders in each church. Some began, Ignatius among them, Ignatius was quite somebody, a preacher, a great preacher, to teach that the idea of bishop was one of preeminence or authority and control over the elders. Now the truth of the matter is the word elder, listen very carefully, signifies the word elder, signifies who the person is. While the word bishop signifies the office of the same man. When you take that person, an elder, and you put him in that office. When you take that old man in the message, and you take him, and you tell him, you're going to be a deacon. You're going to be a bishop. You have now put him in that office. Do you get that? You be overseer. You be overseeing things here in the church. Like Michael. Michael, or whether we have called him bishop, is a bishop. I tell you, Michael is a bishop. People think a bishop is somebody. No, a bishop is an elder that's taking care of things in the church. That's overseeing things to be right everywhere. You see that? That is the office that he's gotten into. That's a bishop. He's an elder and now he's gotten to that office. Do you understand that? He takes care of everything here. It's an office. And it's a great office. It's a great office. It's called bishop. Bishop Michael. That's right. If you hear like that, no, it's nothing wrong. That is the title. That's the thing that's given to him. Right now. It's not. Now, the idea is, of the world is, I should, there should be very many, be very many elders here who are pastors and things like that, and I'll be the bishop of all of them. Maybe very many churches. That's not the right idea. The right idea is a bishop, it's an elder that has been put in office. Okay. Those scriptures shows that there are several elders in the church. Some began initiates. Oh, and I'm not the preeminent. Now, the truth of the matter is the word elder signifies who the person is, while the word bishop signifies the office of the same man. The elder is the one, is the man. Bishop is the office of that man. Elder always has and always will refer simply to a man's chronological age in the Lord. To call you an elder, in fact, the sister is an elder. Yeah, the sister is an elder. He's even an elder in the cultures of America. That's right. It's just so an elder means you are old. Not old, but your age. You have knowledge of things. You have many years. You've been around many years. You know better than you can advise us yourself. Now, in such a time, this happened, and this is what happened. So please don't let it happen like that. You can advise us on that. That's right. Chronological age in the Lord. You've been so much in the Lord, you can tell us now, we were in that church, and that church happened. You can tell us like that. Though we cannot put you into the office of an elder, because now that will be, that's for men, of course. Lord, he is an elder, not because he's erected, ordained, etc. But because he's older, he's more seasoned, trained, not a novice, reliable, because of experience and a long-standing proof of his Christian experience. But no, the bishops did not stick to that epistle of Paul. But rather, they went to Paul's account of time he called the elders from Ephesus to Miletus. He was passing by and he called the people in Acts 20. In verse 17, the record states, elders were called. And then verse 28, they are called overseers. Overseers simply means bishops. They are called bishops. So he called the elders that have been put in offices to a certain place. Come and you tell me what is happening in Ephesus. The church that I left you, what is happening? The churches that I left you, what is happening there? Now he called them. They are called bishops. No doubt with political minded, and anxious for power, insisted that Paul had given the meaning that overseers were more than the local elder with official capacity only in his own church. To them, a bishop was now. Do you see that? The bishop has only capacity only in his own church. He's an elder with official capacity only in his own church. No any other church. That's an elder. Extended authority over many local leaders. Such a concept was neither scriptural nor historical. Yet even a man of stature of Polycarp land leaned towards such an organization. Thus, that which was started, and he goes on and he goes on. I want to go down here. I want to go down here and read you a quote. The quote in the placing of deacons. So we've seen who bishops are. We've seen like that. Now, the Bible said, a bishop, whoever decideth, you go read 1 Timothy 3. Whoever decided to be a bishop or the office of bishop should be a man of one wife. I want to put a difference on that. So, here is a bishop. And Don is a pastor. Okay? Yeah. When it comes to deacons, this is desired. Can I read that very fast? I don't know. I don't have time. And we can just reach there and maybe come next time. But let me just read that scripture. In 1 Timothy. Let's read it. So that you see what I'm saying. 1 Timothy 3. So 1 Timothy 3. This is a true saying. Can you get that very fast? Okay. No problem. It's not there. It's not in my quotes. But let me read this. This is a true saying. I've gone to the Bible. This is a true saying. If a man desires the office of a bishop, he desires a good thing. It's a desire. You can want it, or you can say you don't want it. Sometimes we don't even look at whatever, because now it's whoever is able to do it. That's the mentality of the problem. Is that whoever is going to, the problem with the other way is that if you have children that are against the message, there are some people with you, like a wife who is against the message, you have problems in operation. That's the operation. That's you doing it. That's you wanting it. You can want it. Oh no, that's why they even said, if you want to be a deacon, you come here first and we test you. You see whether you want it or not. If you don't want it, you leave. It's something that you want. That's why he says that this is a true saying. If a man desires, they have desire. But now we don't have time, but you could have gone to Ephesians 4. These people, God called them, they are called the ministers. They are apostles, they are prophets. They are born like that. It's not a desire. The prophet was a prophet when he was a baby. He was seeing visions when he was a baby. This is not a desire. You cannot tell a brother, don't know to pastor because he has 10 wives or whatever. It doesn't matter. He was called and made a pastor by God. Made a minister by God. It's not a desire. Do you get the difference?
Yes.
Exactly. That's the difference. A moon, if you're listening in, maybe you can hear that. That's the difference. Now, I'm going to give you a quote. Okay, just a quote. I may not be able to read it. The praising of deacons. Are we there? I'm going to start where it is read. But as a pastor and I came together after somebody was brought. I want you to mark this. There's somebody that has been brought who now they want to become a deacon. Do you understand? You want to become a deacon, they want to make him a deacon. But as a pastor and I came together, and as the age of the young man, he was in the early 20s. That disqualifies him a bit. Honorable, just a new man, but found out that he was a single man. The Bible requires a deacon to be a married man. He must be a husband of one wife. Okay. Now that disqualifies him. So how many wives is a deacon or a bishop supposed to have? Where do we start the numbers? We start number zero. Is that right? Number zero. One, two, three. Is that right? And continues. You know mathematics. We start from number zero. Is that right? Zero, one, two, three. So the Bible said he must not have zero wife. That is what he's saying here. That's why the prophet is disqualified. If you are going and look at the qualifications, then he's disqualified. Because he has zero wives. Is that right? I'm just reading what he said. Because he has zero wife. Because the Bible did not say zero wife. The Bible did not say two wives. He said number one. Now, you say one, two, three, zero, one, two, three. He didn't say zero. He didn't say two. He says one. The Bible said, must be a man of one wife. That's what a deacon. That's his reading. He's reading from the scriptures. The prophet is reading from the scriptures. Because he must have all his children. Another, he's going there. He must have all his two family subjection. They must be also in the faith. Because it would be conflict. He says like that. Just in the same paragraph 8, they are down. Now, I want to prove to you that this is not the case. With the ministers, apostles, pastors, and like that. It's not the case. I'm going to tell you this now. Sorry. I lost it. I lost it. Okay. I brought it back. I just want to read the black part. Now, maybe you can start the government. The city of Ephesus was one of the three greatest cities of Asia. It was often called the third city of... He goes like that. But down there, look at this. He says, Paul, who founded the true faith in this church, in this city, pastored. But he had a zero wife. How is he going to be a pastor and he's a zero wife? Because this is not... I hope you understand. Let me leave it there. And let's come to the last quote. Last quote. Now, I know this is 106. Let me finish it now. You see, Paul with zero wife is a pastor. Paul with zero wife is a minister. But now when it comes to this is a different category of people. These two are different completely. And if you want to marry. If the people want to elect you when you're married, two or three wives, that's okay. If they don't want, that's upon them. It's an election. Praise be to God. That's exactly how the first church age started. And it will get worse and worse until all those problems that you hear, that's how it started. Until the Holy Spirit is completely rejected. And that's what the necrophine does. It pushes people into a place where the Holy Ghost is taken out and the now the rule of the people. Completely rejected, and God must destroy the people. And when that happens, God destroys the people. Now, see how it started out in the early church age? It was called deeds. Just some things that you are doing here and there. Then it became a doctrine. It became the standard. It became the unbending way. The pastor is the one, or the deacon or the bishop is the one who is saying it. Nobody can say nothing else. It became the unbending way. You can see the loading over there. It finally took over, and God was pushed aside by this Nicolaitane. That's what happens. God is pushed. Sometimes people don't know, but that's exactly what happens. You might continue. You are here. You're in the church. You're singing. You're doing that. But it's not us, of course. I know where we are. But I'm saying that happens in many churches. God is pushed, and you feel like you're still going with God. And God has gone a long time ago. Okay. It finally took over, and God was pushed aside. Oh, it started so small, so quietly, so inoffensively. It looked so good when it started. It looked so good. It seems so sound. No, we got to have our pastor. We got to respect our pastor. We got to do that. We got to da. Those things. And those sounds very good. You got to take care of your pastor. And things like that. You don't go against the pastor. Even if he preaches something, don't ask, because he might feel unhappy. Like all those things. And now then in your mind. And it comes in your mind until slowly it catches up. Oh, it started so small, so quietly, so inoffensively. I'm talking about the preachers. Preachers are the people who bring this up. Preachers are the ones who don't fight it. Preachers are the ones who wants it. And they bring the people there and they, like that. Okay. Yeah. Seems so sound. Then it caught a hold. And like a python, it squeezed out the very breath and killed all the spirituality there was in the church. Oh, that first vine is subtle. It is like an angel of light, and it gets a hold on you. Now, I want to say that I believe in leadership, but it's not the leadership of men I believe in. I believe in the leadership of the Holy Ghost coming through the Word. I believe also that God has set men in the church, men who are gifted by the Spirit, and they will keep the church in order. I believe that. I believe also that the church is ruled over by men, that God said, you see, okay, take charge. But that rule is by the Word. God says to take charge. But that rule is by the Word. So that it's not men really ruling, but the Spirit of God. For the Word and Spirit are one. Hebrews, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the Word of God, whose faith follow, considering the head of their conversation. Yeah. Let's pray. This is a hard thing to come to bring, Lord, but you wanted it like this, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for the Father that you brought it that we have done. We have taken a bit of time with the people, but Lord, it is what you wanted.
I'm thankful for that. Thank you for even helping me to see it and to see what is happening in the world, Lord God, in the denominations, Father. Now your word is being pushed, even the so-called message churches, Lord. And Father, it's a dangerous thing, something that you said you hate. Help us to recognize it. Wherever it is, Lord, hate it, Father, and call it out and say it's wrong. Thank you. Bless the sisters, bless the brothers, Lord. Bless everybody, Lord, even those who are listening in, Lord. We pray that you walk with us in this. Help us, Father, as we dig deep into these things, Lord God, about the revelation of your heart. Bless the people now, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray.
Amen.
Lord, on.
God bless you.
Praise the Lord. God bless you.
Amen.
Bless you.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. We appreciate the word, and we thank God. And I didn't think it was going to get that far. You're bringing it up really good, and that's a spirit that has to be really watched closely. But then he came at the end, he come to the other side, and the scripture says, obey them that have the rule over you. And so there's two sides. And when it comes together and you get it right in the middle, it's just like he said, it's the Holy Ghost that's leading the church.
Amen.
And that's what we want. That's our great desire. That's our goal, is that it's not a man doing it, but it's the Spirit of God in the man that's doing it. Amen. We appreciate that, Brother Gomba, so much. And I think that the Holy Ghost is there to keep us from going that way. If he can humble us, then we won't have that desire for those things of vanity. We won't have those desires. And I was thinking of something just recently where God came on the scene, and it concerned me a little bit. But Sister Edith, I hope she won't mind me saying, she's pretty tough, so you can tell things. But she came to me after service, and we were just greeting. Everybody was greeting each other, and she started telling me she appreciated the services, the messages that had been coming, and she started saying, "You." The words came out wrong,
yeah.
And she said, "You're the only one that has." And I don't remember exactly how she said it all, but when she said that, I was like, "No, don't say that."
Yeah.
And I knew her heart was, she was just appreciating the message. And so, but anyway, she came back. The next day, I think she came back the next day, and she said, "I want you to know, I said it wrong." She said, "I said it wrong." And she said, I just want to make that right. And so sometimes when we're appreciating one another, we appreciate the ministry, we appreciate the messages. We don't mean to be lifting up the man, but we're appreciating the man. We're thinking that God put that desire in there, and he's surrendered himself to God. And I see that in Brother Goomba's life, that he has given himself to God in every way. And I thank God for that gift. And I thank Brother Goomba for yielding himself to that gift. Amen. And so that's where we want to be. And now we want you to remember, Brother, the Kuroki family. We want to remind you on that. I meant to mention Sister Juanita. We're missing her this morning. She said she told us she was going to be away on Wednesday, so we just remember her while she's out. And then just each one, just let us continually hold one another up before him. We'll ask you to stand together with us. And let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, once again we come with thanksgiving, Lord, as our desire, Lord, is that we find ourselves right under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, Lord. And we know that you're working through man, Lord, ordained, that you've put there, Lord, in every type of ministry, every type of gift, Lord, and we're thankful for that. And Lord, just not to teach the people, Lord, but to help one another. Lord, you, sometimes people think that we do it all alone, Lord, and just we get everything in our study. We don't. Lord, we learn from one another. We learn from those other gifts, other brothers that are ministering and that you've laid upon their heart. And Lord, not like the denomination, not like the Sunday school lesson, not like the leadership of man, but Lord, through revelation of the Holy Ghost moving among the body, Lord, and upon the ministry. Lord, we thank you for that. We've been so blessed, Lord, and we feel that you have been moving among us, and Lord, that you've been speaking to our hearts and drawing us closer unto you. And Lord, we just ask that you would forgive us daily of our shortcomings, our short places. And Lord, let us just, may you kindle that fire in our hearts, Lord, that we would be talking about these great things, Lord, that we would just be searching, studying, and praying, and Lord, just seeking a closer walk day by day. Lord, bless each one now. Bless Brother Guma. We thank you for the message this morning, Lord. And Lord, we pray for Brother Kuroki, Lord, in the time of this great loss in his home and family, that you would bless him and strengthen him, Lord. And be with the children and grandchildren, Lord, each one. Lord, we just commit all to you. Lord, you know every need and every heart. So we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 God bless you. Amen.